turn to the book of Mark, chapter 14. Mark, chapter 14. I'm going to read three different passages of Scripture for you today. And they're all related. Mark, chapter 14, and verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and of unleavened bread, and the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation with themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. They murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me, ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her. And of course, right after that is when Judas goes out to betray him. Now, if you would take your Bibles, and you can hold your finger there and turn over to John chapter 12, John chapter 12. We'll get a little more detail about this. John chapter 12, verse 1, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was that had been raised, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and have given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare with what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. And that's when long after that Jesus entered into Jerusalem in that time. But there's a picture there, an interesting picture there. And then we go to the book of Luke. Go to the book of Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that troubleth him, that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which one of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is he? Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Now, Father, help me, I pray, in this short time that we have, to just say something that would be of great impact to your people. You know our hearts. You know what we need. And we thank you for all that you've given. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we find out some things in these three passages of scriptures. We find three instances recorded in the Bible where Jesus was anointed with ointment. Here in chapter 14, it says that a woman doesn't identify her name. Being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And of course, there were some that had indignation with themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And then we go to John chapter 12, and it tells us that 6 days before the Passover, that Jesus came to Bethany, same place where Lazarus was, which was whom he'd raised from the dead. And they made him a supper, and Martha served. That's Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Remember that story in that John chapter 11. And he said, Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And of course, we see specifically it says that Judas Iscariot was the one that complained there. Now, those two things are related in that in both cases, Jesus said that she came to anoint his body to the burying. That she's done a good work to me. Now, this ointment, there's one thing about this ointment of spikenard, was very costly. It was very expensive. It was an ointment that was perfumed with spikenard. And I didn't really take the time to figure out what all was in spikenard. I just know it was very costly. It was very precious. It was a perfume. You know, you get some of those perfumes that they get. Some of them cost a lot of money. You know, when I was in the Navy, when we went to France, a lot of these guys would buy perfume to give to their girlfriends and wives and stuff when they were there because they could get it at a real reduced rate. You know, you could buy a bottle of Chanel, which over there you could buy it for $20, and you get back here it'd cost you near $100. You know, and all those big name brands and that they had, and people would buy them when I was in the Navy. And so those French perfumes are very costly. And this is like that. This is something like that. It was not something that was cheap. It wasn't something that you had. And when you get something like that, you want to make it last. If you get a thing of, I bought some expensive perfume for Sister Denise once, and boy, she milked that bottle for the longest time. She didn't want it to just go on. She'd only wear it for special occasions and things like that. And so she made it last. And this was something that you would make it last for a long time. It was very precious. And in both cases, they came and they saw something. These people saw something. Whether they understood it or not, they understood that Jesus was going to be there. And, you know, normally what they would do is they would anoint the body for the burying. And they're doing this up ahead of time. They would do these things for when people died. There were certain things that they did. And, you know, we know what happened later when they came when Jesus was put into the tomb. He was just wrapped up and he wasn't embalmed after the proper way of them doing things, right? And so they were coming to do that, to do the work they would do for the dead when they found him raised from the dead. So he was anointed ahead of time for the burying. Then in another place we have the woman in the book of Luke, and it's not the same same time frame, but she's a woman who just come in and brought an alabaster box of ointment, and she's just weeping around Jesus and kissing his feet and weeping and shedding her tears on his feet and wiping them off with her hair, and then takes the anointing and she's kissing his feet and all these things. She's just showing the repentance and desire of a relationship with the Lord. And you know, that's the thing that we need to make sure we understand. That kind of makes me think, as we go along this thing, we talked about the church of Ephesus that had left their first love, right? And we see a woman here that's coming, and she's a sinner. She's a sinner. Everybody knows she's a sinner. Everybody knows she's no good. And you got this Pharisee sitting here and looking at him and saying, man, why is he letting her touch him? If he were a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman this is. What manner of this woman is that toucheth him? Even that Pharisee, he at least had a working knowledge that says that which is holy shouldn't be touched by that which is profane. But you know, I think sometimes we forget that's where we came from. This woman came and humbled herself before the Lord. And got down at his feet and wept over her sins and kissed his feet and took something very costly and anointed his feet and wiped them with the hairs of her head. She wanted a relationship with the Lord. She wanted to be forgiven. She wanted His presence in her life. She wanted to know His will. She wanted that. And that's one of the things. When we're looking at these things, we're talking about love for God, aren't we? We're talking about love for God. Let me ask you a question. I've asked this question a lot of times. I think along these times and everything, along these times, you know, sometimes you've heard me say about Zacchaeus, how he went and climbed the sycamore tree so he could see Jesus. And he said, He said, and I asked the question, I said, would you climb a tree to see Jesus?
Yeah.
And everybody said, well, sure I would. Well, then why don't you read your Bible and pray? Would you kiss Jesus' feet? Well, sure I would. Why don't you humble yourself before him now? That church at Ephesus had left its first love, that desire of having that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman wanted that relationship. She wanted her sins forgiven. She wanted to be right with God. She knew what she was, and she wanted to be right with God. And then we have a woman who comes and breaks an alabaster box of spikenard over his head and anoints him. Then we have a companion passage that tells us it was Mary and that she anointed him. And notice what it says about her. It says, she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house is filled with odor of ointment. So as I read these may be actually different times that this happened. But if you go to the book of Mark, it just says a woman, they were in Bethany, same place, and it says that a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She break the box and poured it on his head. You put them together, she put it on his head. If it's talking about Mary, then we're finding out she put it on his head and on his feet. And she got down on her feet and wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. And the odor filled the house. Now, I want you to see something. First, we have a woman who's a sinner, and she just wants a relationship with the Lord. She just wants her sins forgiven. She just wants everything right, finally. She wants to know that her sins are forgiven. She wants to know she's saved. She wants to be right with God. She wants a relationship with the Lord. So she comes and she humbles herself before Him. What does the Bible tell us in many places that we're to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt us in due time? You know, humble yourselves therefore in the mighty hand of God. It tells us that we're to be clothed with humility, all these things that we talk about. What we're talking about is not just humbling ourselves, but love. We love Him because He first loved us. Our relationship with the Lord started with the idea that, hey, we found out that we're a sinner and that somebody loves us and wants to save us and offers us eternal life through faith in His blood. Through faith in Him. Through faith in His death, His burial, His resurrection. Jesus Christ offers us salvation. He says to us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, you'll find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, I'll take care of you. There's something you need to do. But you know, we look at the other passages that we talked about, where He was anointed to the burying. And you know what we find out? We find somebody who takes, once again, something that is very, very precious and pours it on his head and pours it on his feet and then is down at his feet once again, wiping his feet with the hairs of her head. She's not a sinner as the other one is in the same way. Of course, everybody's a sinner. Everybody needs to be saved. But this person is a believer. It's Mary. We read in chapter 12 that there's Sister Martha. What's she doing? She's still a servant, isn't she? Remember, she got upset with Mary because she was doing all the housework and all the being the hostess and everything and taking care of everybody's needs. And Martha sat at Jesus' feet and was listening to His Word. I mean, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and was listening to His Word. And Jesus told her, He said, "Martha, Martha, thou art troubled and careful about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part that shall not be taken from her." So here's the one that sat at Jesus' feet, and now she's down at His feet again, wiping them with the hair of her head. She's humbled herself. She's back down at Jesus' feet. She's not the one that was rebuked for neglecting her relationship with the Lord like Martha did. She's not the one that was exhorted to realize that there's what the most important thing is. Mary understood that. Mary knew that. But she's still at Jesus' feet, isn't she? She's still taking her best and giving it to Him. And in both cases, if we look at Mark, they complained about this was worth 300 pence, could have been sold and given to the poor. And we know Judas, he didn't care about that. He just wanted money. And these other folks were complained along with him and whoever it was. In one place, it's Judas that complains. In the other place, in Mark, it's several people that complain. And so we'd have to take some time and study them out and look at all the things that were similarities and differences and work through it to get a clear and 100% perfect picture of this. But they murmured against her, and Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always." She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And of course, we've just once again fulfilled the scripture by preaching on this and talking about it. We fulfilled the word of God. But you know, there comes a time when you realize something. When you realize something about our relationship with the Lord, or you ought to, we look at the focus of the passage here, and the picture is that Jesus is about to go to Calvary, and after He goes to Calvary and He's risen from the dead, He's going to depart until the times and the season that the Father's put into His power. He's going to go away, and He promises to come back. And all that time, you're going to have the poor that you can do something for. There's going to be opportunities for service. There's going to be opportunities to do the right thing, to help people. There's going to be opportunity to win souls, to give out the true riches, the gospel. But what do we forget to do so often? We forget to humble ourselves before God and seek the relationship we're supposed to have. Our opportunities to do that, they pass away. We're supposed to redeem the time because the days are evil. We're told that we only have a short time to do certain things. And this is one of the things. You know, the demands of life often stop us from being able to just truly walk and talk and fellowship with God the way we should. You ever notice that? You ever notice that the demands of life just seem to get in the way? And then you know what we do? When we have time, we don't use the time. We go do something else. We go to amuse ourselves. We go to relax ourselves. We go to feel. And we don't seek a relationship with the Lord like we did at the beginning. We don't desire that rightness of God and that fellowship with God and getting right with God. Why is it that we have to speak of revival? Why is it that we have to have revival services? Why do we do that? Because why? We're trying to get people away from all the mundane and all the things and focus on the Lord. And today we've gotten to the point where we don't really have revival. We have 3 or 4 day revival services and everything like that. They used to come and have revival services for 2, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months. They would have church every day and they would come there and the people would hear the preaching of the Word of God day after day after day after day after day and all these other things be put away. And people's hearts would break. And they would once again desire that relationship with the Lord. Lost people would see Christians' lives change and it would impact them as well. And they'd hear the gospel and they'd get saved. And those are the things that happened. You see, the first woman, the one we read about in Luke, she just wants to get right with God. She just wants to be saved. And the others, instances we read, they're realizing that the opportunity they had to spend time with the Lord is going to be limited. I know God's with us always. He's with us always. Are we with Him always? You know, the truth of the Word of God is real clear here when we look at what they did. These were people that came to the Lord and they gave Him their best. They'd already been saved, but they went back to that point. They said, I need the relationship with God. And they were willing to give it. They were willing to give the things of most value to them. They didn't hold back anything. They didn't put a little dab between his toes. They didn't put a little dab behind his ears. They poured it on. That's what our love for God, the love for God, that loving God enough to just want to get back in right fellowship with Him and stay in good fellowship with Him. And when you realize that you're drifting away, to come back and want to just love Him that same way and humble yourself before Him and repent of sin and get right with God. That's what we're looking at here. And you know, every day that time goes by, our opportunities are going by, aren't they? So what are you going to do about it? You remember the day when you got saved? Remember the day when you finally realized that your sins were forgiven? That you were a child of God? Isn't that something? To truly worship the Lord. To give of Him your best. To give Him your heart all over again. You know what God says in in the book of Proverbs, "My son, give me thine heart." Think about it. I mean, there could be somebody here that's lost, needs to be saved. You just need to humble yourself before the Lord. You call on the Lord. You humble yourself, repent, and believe the gospel. Call on the Lord. He'll save your soul. But do you honestly think that God wanted us to walk away and never experience that love again in our lives? No, that's our birthright. Boy, our love for God is like that perfume. It just permeates everything. You find somebody that loves, truly loves the Lord, it shows, doesn't it? We ought to be the ones that show that. But it won't happen if we don't humble ourselves and desire to be right with God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the morning preaching. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, you know every heart. You know the needs. Lord, I pray you just remind us there's times where we just need to, well, really, we need it every day, but there's times when we've not been obedient and not been diligent, and we just need to come back to you. We just need to humble ourselves. We just need to bow at your feet, to kiss your feet, to give you our best, to love you the way you love us. To realize that we can give everything to you because you're not going to cheat us. You're not going to hurt us. You're simply going to mold us into your image. Lord, help us to understand that. But above all, help us to desire it. Help us to desire to be right with God. Show us in our hearts the things that hinder that. Remind us when we have that idle time that we could turn to you in the time that we have. Instead of filling it up with things that are of no profit, help us to turn our hearts to you and seek the Lord the way we ought to. Lord, get it to the point where we just love to spend time in prayer. We love to spend time in the Word of God. Bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.